In 2012, Ed Schwarzschild went to work for the Transportation Safety Administration, you know, the TSA, at Albany International Airport, working in the early mornings before going to his day job as a university professor. In the beginning, he thought it might help him connect with his aging father, a traveling textile salesman who loved to fly, but he also worried it might be evidence of a midlife crisis. Like many of his fellow agents, Schwarzschild was only with the TSA for a short time, but the experience helped shape his third novel, Insecurity. Two words, I-N, and then security. Insecurity. Part thriller, part family drama, and part love story. Ed Schwarzschild is a great friend of this show. He is the author of Responsible Men and The Family Diamond at the University at Albany, State University of New York. He is Associate Professor of English, Director of Creative Writing, and Fellow of the New York State Writers Institute. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I'm doing well. It's so good to get to talk to you again.
It's always a pleasure. And, you know, I have to say, when I first, months ago, I got a galley of the book, and it came. And I just, because I read the blurb, I thought, oh, I wonder, Ed is doing nonfiction? Is this what he did? Is this, you know, kind of like a George Plimpton thing? What's going on? And then, so to find out that it's a novel makes more sense, and I find it fascinating. So, I gave a brief rundown, but give me an idea of what you were thinking in the first place of doing this particular project.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I mean, I think I started on some level thinking about the project right after 9/11. You know, like when so many people were thinking about how to process what was happening in our country, and especially to my mind, what was happening with the buildup of the security world in our country. I remember just walking around downtown Albany and seeing barricades suddenly in front of all the government buildings, and just thinking a lot about what that meant for our culture. And I didn't know how to write about it right away, and it took a long time. I mean, this is 2020, and I'm saying I started thinking in 2001. But at some point along the way, I wound up with a character who worked for the TSA. And I tried to do, you know, more conventional research about how to capture the life of a TSA worker. I would kind of linger around the airport whenever I had a trip. I would move slowly through the checkpoint. I would occasionally elect the pat down in order to have a chance to talk to TSA officers. But that didn't really wasn't really the best kind of research. They weren't that forthcoming in the middle of the pat down, and I began to get teased for electing pat downs all the time. So I was stymied in my attempt to learn about what it was like to be a TSA officer, what their hopes and dreams were, what it was like to have a family and hold the job. But eventually I was inspired by a writer named Ted Conover, who wrote a great book about working for, the prison system, working as a corrections officer for a year and then writing a nonfiction book about it. It was called New Jack. It was, again, right around here in Albany. He went to the correction officer school here in New York and then worked for a year at Sing Sing. And I thought, okay, I'll look and see if I can get a job with the TSA and immerse myself in that way. That process took a while, but eventually in 2012, I took the job and went to work.
So once you take the job, how much of it is, okay, this is the job and I'm going to do this job, and how much of it is, okay, I'm going to do this job and I'm going to absorb every part of it so I can write about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. The sort of difference between doing the job and writing the work down. For me, doing the job was a really immersive experience, and I took it really seriously for all kinds of reasons. I took it seriously because I just thought that was the way to do the job. I took it seriously because I wanted to respect the other people doing the job. I mean, one of the reasons that I was drawn to it was this notion that people who work for the TSA in our culture are so villainized. You know, they're such an easy target. And I'm not saying there aren't bad TSA officers out there, but I was curious to find out what it was really like. So I wanted to do the job seriously and take it seriously. I was also paranoid. You know, even in all my application materials, right? I never lied. I presented myself as a professor. I used my name. Anybody could Google me and see my books and know I was a writer. But I still felt concerned that I was going to get outed somehow and kind of hustled out of the airport. So I think that encouraged me to take the job seriously too. But it was, it wasn't difficult to remember what was happening and use the details because it was so new and so interesting and fascinating. And because the people I encountered were so human, so warm, and their lives had distinct shapes, and they did have hopes and dreams that I think would be familiar to all of us. So it wasn't hard to come home at the end of the day and jot down notes and begin to sit with this character who Gary Waldman, who's the main character in the book. He began to come to life as I did the job.
How do travelers treat TSA agents?
Well, you know, right? We all know. We're all, I mean, at least prior to these times, right? We were all travelers, or at least occasionally travelers, and we know what it's like. I mean, it's you're inconvenienced and you're not your best self necessarily when you're traveling. But what I encountered during my few months on the job was the whole array of what you would imagine. You know, some people were just in foul moods from the moment they arrived. Some people, if they had to get patted down, they resented it greatly, understandably so. Others were kind of accustomed to the whole process. I did the job, remember, in 2012. So
right.
So many things were different. The whole atmosphere. I did the job during Hurricane Sandy, during Halloween, during Thanksgiving, during the Obama reelection. So the kind of mood of the country was really different back then. But I didn't encounter anything over the top. And I would say, in terms of, you know, travelers' attitudes, I would say in general, I was surprised by how accustomed to the process people were.
Can it be a boring job?
Yes. Yes. I think that's one of the main challenges of the job. I was working part-time. All the new shifts when I was hired were part-time, 5 to 9 in the morning. So you're already kind of tired.
Right.
when you arrive after having woken up at 3:30. And then, you know, a lot of people are doing other jobs too, as I was. And the job is, there's a tediousness to it. You have to be paying attention. But one of the sort of mantras of the job was to have focused attention, and that it's really necessary. If you're looking through the bag check and the scanning devices, the X-ray machine, and one bag after another is coming through, you have to be operating with the mindset that every bag could contain a threat. You can't like drop off for 30 seconds because you'll miss a bag. So to do the job right, it is tedious, and yet that's the greatest chance of it, to rise above that and still stay focused. It, on some level, it had a kind of Zen Buddhist beauty to it. You know, if you could achieve that state of mind, it was just, you really had to pay attention to the now. You had to be focused on each moment in order to do the job right.
So then talk a little bit about how this then becomes such a cool novel, in the sense that there's these thriller aspects, and it's a drama about family. Of once you have the character, once you know what you know, of then, well, over the last 8 years, then putting it together, right?
Yes, and I you know, I would love to get to talk to you more frequently, Joe. I would love to have books that come out more frequently. but, you know, this book took a long time. And I think part of the reason it took a long time was because I had to figure out how to weave the strands of it together. The two books you mentioned earlier, The Responsible Man and The Family Diamond, they're deeply family books. They are kind of animated and propelled by father-son relationships, parent-child relationships. So that's something I don't think I can stop writing about. I tend to always write about that, particularly father-son stories. But the thriller element was new, and it sort of emerged gradually. It became a kind of necessity for the book. I had this TSA agent. I had a security threat. I had most of the novel taking place in an airport. At a certain point, there's an obligation for the narrative to have a thriller element. And I'd never written a thriller before. So that took a long time to sort of find my way towards how to write a thriller that still retained and drew power from the sort of father-son relationship, the love story at the heart of the book, and the real sort of coping with grief that is kind of the backbone of the novel.
Yes, the idea of the coping with grief, and tell us a little bit about what drove that and how you ponder that in writing, which to me itself would take time to process.
Yeah, I mean, for me, unfortunately, grief is, we all encounter it in our lives at one point or another, at multiple points. In the course of writing this novel, my middle brother passed away at the age of 50, very suddenly, sort of no warning. He thought he had indigestion, and it was much worse than that. And he had a heart attack, and he died. So I think, that my working through of that grief was transformed in the novel. I mean, Gary has lost his wife. The grief that must encounter that kind of loss, I'm sure, is far different from the grief of losing a brother. But that sort of coming to understand how my family was dealing with the loss of my brother Arthur was something I was definitely working around and through in the course of writing Insecurity.
The overall story and this idea of, first of all, don't you get exhausted? I mean, then you had to go teach. I mean, I would just, I mean, you had a day job.
I did. I have a great day job, and I'm so glad I had the day job. These times more than ever, I feel so fortunate to get to do the work I do and talk about writing and reading with students on a daily basis. But sure, I was exhausted. I was also exhilarated. At the time, my son was 3 years old, so we already had sleep difficulties, and it was a lot. But it was also a great challenge and a great reminder of what so many people have to do. And on some level, I did my best to immerse myself in a job. I couldn't do a year like Ted Conover did for his book about the correction officers. But I did it for a few months, and even though I was immersed, I knew all along that I wasn't experiencing what my coworkers were experiencing. If I failed a test, if I somehow got fired, if I didn't make a promotion, it wasn't going to really, shake my life up that much. Whereas all the people I was working with, they had real stakes in passing these tests. They had a real need for the promotion. So even though I felt like I learned a lot, I'm aware that there was so much more to learn.
That is interesting, because I would think the answer is yes, but it would seem to me that you would just be different in a job that you know deep down you don't need.
I think that's right. I mean, I tried not to be that person, like your earlier question about how I took the job. I tried to take it really seriously, and I think I was brought up that way.
Sure.
It wasn't that I didn't have to like turn a switch. I if I'm taking a job, I try to do the job well. I want to please my superiors, but I had to acknowledge that it's also different. And even to refer to Ted Conover again, even though he worked for the job for a whole year. In Sing Sing, he was aware of that too, and that's after making a commitment for a year. So certainly for a few months, I couldn't escape that awareness.
I remember Barbara Ehrenreich talking to me about that.
Yes.
That the same thing of taking a job as a waitress and saying, okay, so at what point, I have this luxury, and she almost had like survivor's guilt.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Nickel Dimed. I mean, what a great book.
Right.
And another kind of inspiration for my sort of immersive TSA experiment. But she's absolutely right, of course.
So what kind of flyer, not that you can, but none of us really can do it too much, but what kind of flyer are you now?
Right. When I could fly, I was, you know, and I fly with my family, you know, going through the checkpoints is a different experience. You know, I'll never look at a checkpoint the same way again. I try to be friendly. I see the people not as just as these sort of titanium blue uniforms, anonymous people asking me to take stuff out of my pockets. I see people and I try to say hi, and just like be a nice part of their day, instead of the opposite. But I don't think that'll go away. I'm still a TSA news junkie. You know, I'm not an apologist for the DHS. But I track the news and I'm interested in what's happening in this, not just in the TSA, in the whole security apparatus. I mean, it's a fraught and necessary conversation these days.
And my final question is, do you learn, I mean, obviously you don't have anything, or not that I'm aware of anyway, something else to compare it to, but is it different being in Albany? I mean, I'm personally the biggest fan of Albany Airport. I love the airport. I love that it's small. I love that it's, you know, easy. It's just perfect. So does the geography of it, of the fact that it was the Albany Airport, enter into it?
Absolutely, Joe. I mean, another mantra we had at the airport that you would hear often is, you've been to one airport, you've been to one airport. tautological thinking that I found really appealing. And it's true. I mean, working at all, I can't talk about what it would be like to work at Chicago O'Hare Airport or work at JFK. I mean, the whole dynamic would be completely different. Albany is a smaller airport. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, who lived around here longer than I have, that there was a time when people, in terms of like kind of poking fun at the idea of Albany International Airport, they would call it Albany Intergalactic Airport.
Which is a fine way to do it. Ed, I'm afraid we are out of time, but I could talk to you for hours, as I love to do. The new book is In Security. It is published by Excelsior Editions. And Ed, congratulations. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Have a great rest of the day.
And to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.